Laura Harmon, again, is with our general counsel's office with the Illinois Farm Bureau in Bloomington. Laura?
Thanks, Ray. Can everybody hear me in the background? Okay, good. I'm Laura Harmon. I'm a senior counsel with the Illinois Farm Bureau. I have the privilege of working with farmers across the state on all issues that impact agriculture. So, and as Ray mentioned, we've been doing landowner meetings for projects like this and transmission lines. Unfortunately, we've been on the road nonstop for about 2 years now. So, what I want to cover today is kind of like Pipelines 101. So, we're going to go through the process of how a pipeline project gets approved before the ICC, and I've really just picked out the important things that you need to know about so that you can figure out, okay, here's my options. So I'm going to explain the rules, the law, you know, how it's supposed to work, and we're going to talk about how it does work, because we've been involved in several cases. I work with attorneys on a daily basis that practice before the Illinois Commerce Commission and represent farmers in these cases. I'm on the Ag Law Section Council, and there's a growing group of attorneys in the state of Illinois that in their practice of representing farmers, they've had to become experts in negotiating pipeline and transmission line easements, and in some cases intervening before the Illinois Commerce Commission. So I'm going to explain that today, and kind of, you know, I understand most people don't intervene in the process, and that's fine. But I'm going to explain to you what your options are if you do or if you don't. So that way you can sit back and kind of figure out, you know, what your goals are and what you want to do. So the first thing that you can do is gather information about the project. So I know they've had an open house. They had some maps. We asked that they make those maps available electronically so that farmers could actually see where they were going to be on their property, and they haven't done that, because I know that's frustrating, because what's everybody want to know? The first and most important question, where is it going? How is it going to impact my property? Well, here's the quick answer. They don't know. So pipeline companies routinely, when they file for approval with the Illinois Commerce Commission, they'll file for a certificate. That's the legal term of that. That's kind of your green card that says you can go and build it. And at the same time, because the law allows them to do so, they'll ask for eminent domain. So at the time that the Commerce Commission is going through this process and the company's figuring out where the route is going to go, they've already asked for approval of the project and eminent domain at the same time. So, you know, and if farmers don't object to granting the eminent domain, you know, what does the ICC have before them? They have testimony and a request from a company asking for it, and no one's saying don't do it, so what do? They go ahead and grant it. And that is your biggest problem, because once the Illinois Commerce Commission grants eminent domain, what's the company do? They stop negotiating with you. So that is the biggest takeaway, and I've skipped through half my presentation, but I wanted to make that point early on. You have leverage right now. Use it. And I want to go through the process and explain to you how to use that leverage. We're going to talk about easements and the problems that I see with easements. We're going to get to that. So we're pretty much going to go to A to Z. I'll do it as quickly as possible, and I'll be here till at least 4 o'clock to answer questions. So we had our first meeting in Salem, Illinois. We had one in Carlinville, Illinois. And then a couple weeks ago, we had one in Jacksonville, Illinois. I spent a lot of time answering really great questions from farmers about this project. So we're going to get to do that today. So Until the project is filed, your best source of information is usually the company's website. Once this project is filed, for those of you that are internet savvy, all you have to do is go on the Illinois Commerce Commission's website, and everything in that case will be filed on the case. So they'll have a docket number, and then what you do is search by that docket. And our lucky County Farm Bureau managers that get to work with me on these projects will get emails from me with the latest filings in the case and explaining it, because I know that you're going to call them with questions. So, but that is your best source of information about the project, is what the company actually files with the Illinois Commerce Commission. My PowerPoint presentation, I will make that available. I will email that to the County Farm Bureau managers, and you can get a copy from them. So it looks like everybody's got pen and paper. If you didn't bring paper and you've got some, please share with your neighbor. But what I've put up here are some dockets and cases, pipeline cases, that the Illinois Commerce Commission has already filed. These are just a few that will help you. And the reason that I put the, it's called the Southern Access Project, that was at Enbridge, one of many Enbridge pipeline projects filed here in Illinois. That was a case where farmers intervened and opposed the project. Now, the project eventually got approved, but what the Commerce Commission didn't do was grant, they didn't grant Enbridge eminent domain when they requested it. They said, no, here's the law, you're required to negotiate with farmers in good faith, and then they have like several factors that they look at, and we're gonna go through all that. But they said, no, you need to go out and negotiate with farmers. And that's important, and that case is important for that reason. The company got approval to build a project, but they had to continue to negotiate with farmers, which makes sense. Because while this case is going through the Commerce Commission, Dakota Access is going to figure out where to actually locate the line. And as I'll explain later, the law allows them some leeway. The commission doesn't have to approve a specific route that goes across your property as opposed to someone else's. They can approve a width that gives them 500 feet wiggle room. So we still don't quite know where it's going. So, and some of you are probably looking at me kind of funny, well, how can you grant eminent domain when you don't know exactly where it's going to go? That's my point. So the Enbridge Southern Access case is important and helpful for farmers, because in that case, they said, no, you haven't earned the right for eminent domain at this point in time. And so in that case, the Illinois Commerce Commission did the right thing. They didn't grant it. They actually didn't grant it until several years later. So actually 2014. Now, they didn't spend that entire time negotiating, because they approved it in 2009. The pipeline got put on hold, but they did spend a good majority of that time negotiating easements with farmers. So the agreements, the easements that they put in front of you are going to be one-sided. They are not in a condition where anyone should sign it. And that's, at the end of the day, that's the most important document that you're going to have. If this pipeline goes across your property, your easement is your contract. So if anything happens in the future or during construction, then you have that easement to rely upon. It's your contract. So you've really got to have a great easement. Because after the Illinois Commerce Commission, assuming they approve the project, what happens? Something goes wrong, and you need to enforce a term, if you've negotiated a term that says you've got to fix my drainage problems, or your production's not up to 100%, and there was an issue with settling, if you've got compaction issues, you know, anything that they don't fix, what do you have to hang your head on? Your easement. So we're going to spend a lot of time talking about easements. We're going to spend a lot of time talking about the AIMA. It's an acronym. It's A. Everybody write this down if you got a pen. AIMA. That's a mouthful. It stands for Agricultural Impact Mitigation Agreement. It's an agreement that the Illinois Department of Agriculture negotiates with the company that covers damage and how they're going to repair your farmland after the construction process. So if anybody went to the open house, they had a draft of AIMA there. Did anyone get a copy of that? Okay, good. That's what I'm talking about. That's not final. That was just a draft. So, and I'm sure what you've done is gone through it and read it. That's something that you incorporate and make it part of your easement. But it's the ground floor. It's not the ceiling. It's the starting point. Because the Illinois Department of Agriculture can't negotiate specific provisions for your property. Everybody's property is different. They don't know how it's going to cross your property. How it crosses your property will impact the damages. Some of you may have livestock, some of you don't. Someone may have a valuable grove of trees that they're going to take out, some of you won't. So depending upon your farmland, your particular property, and what you've got on it, and how the pipeline crosses your property, that's going to impact your damages, and in turn, that's what you've got to cover in the easement. So again, the aim is the floor, it's not the ceiling, and you know, if this thing does go under your property, that's what you're going to have to rely upon, your easement and your AIMA. And you know, and unfortunately, these agreements are going to start off one-sided. But on the other hand, farmers in this state have been very successful in negotiating good easements for pipelines and transmission line projects, where they've negotiated early, before condemnation, where they've gone to good counsel that knows what they're doing. So I spend a lot of time, I don't get to represent farmers individually, I'm prohibited from doing that because I work for the Farm Bureau. I spend a lot of time working with attorneys who represent farmers, teaching classes about this. So today you're kind of going to go through a crash course in what we teach attorneys about these cases and how to properly represent farmers if you've got a pipeline impacting your property. Again, here's the Commerce Commission's website. You don't have to write that down. If you Google Illinois Commerce Commission, it will show up. And on the very first page, there'll be a blank called e-docket. And that's where you type in the case number once the company files it. Now, we'll provide all this information to your County Farm Bureau manager, so once it's filed, you can contact the County Farm Bureau manager to get that information. They've already sent out what we call this landowner's rights letter. The company, I think October 17th, started sending out letters saying who we are, this is our project, we're going to file with the ICC, and then you get like a couple pages of attachments. Did you guys get that? Okay. That means they've already identified you as being potentially impacted by the project. That's kind of their pre-filing letter. So we reviewed that letter, and what I noticed is that they indicated that not only were they going to file for approval of the project, they were going to ask for eminent domain. So that was kind of our first clue, and that's kind of their standard operating procedure. The companies do that routinely. But they usually do that where they already own the right-of-way. A lot of times pipeline companies want to build a line, and they'll follow an existing right-of-way. Or they will purchase a right-of-way before they site their project, because it makes it cheaper and easier to build a pipeline. So in those situations, you know, sometimes they'll file and they'll have the majority of the right-of-way before they even file. That's not this case. But we understand for most of the line, this is brand new right-of-way. So, and that's one of the reasons that the ICC shouldn't grant eminent domain at the time that they file. So I've been asked, you know, kind of for talking points or do a checklist on that issue of the eminent domain. Well, I don't know what the reasons are until the company actually files their petition with the Commerce Commission. So once they file it, we'll look at it and see what grounds are they giving to the Commerce Commission for why they should grant them eminent domain now. So that's going to be the first thing that we're going to look at, and that you should look at. They need to justify why they should grant them eminent domain now, when typically you negotiate in good faith. So they're not out there negotiating easements. They haven't even filed the project yet. They haven't filed in any other state yet. So they have to wait until next year to file in Iowa, because Iowa's laws are different. Every state has different laws for how you site a pipeline. And in Iowa, what they have to do is go have a meeting in every county before they can even talk to a landowner. So in July, they started sending out these letters to farmers with a property access agreement. So that was our first clue. Did anyone here get one of those letters? Yeah. So that typically they want the right to come on your property and survey. That was the mother of all survey forms. If you signed that form, you would give them the right to perform every type of investigation that they can think of. They threw everything in the kitchen sink in that one. So that's why we advise farmers, don't sign it. You know, we've got harvest coming up. They haven't filed the project. I really don't need to be traipsing in fields full of corn and soybeans before we get them harvested. So, and I think for the most part, we were pretty successful in getting that message out to you to not sign that agreement. Because, you know, most people think, ooh, I've got to sign it. And depending upon what the landman says when they're knocking on your door, you know, they're pretty persuasive. So this company, and Ray can talk for hours about stories about landmen and these type of cases. The company has hired CLS. Those are the same land agents that are working on negotiating easements for the Ameren-Illinois River Project transmission line. So they're in the same office. They're already in the state working on a big project. The transmission line project covered the whole state, and this pipeline project covers a good portion of the state of Illinois. So you'll be dealing with land agents from the same company. And typically, until the Commerce Commission approves the projects, they're going to be out and very aggressively seeking your signatures on property access forms and their standard easement form. So no matter what they say, it's all negotiable. It's their first offer. It's one-sided. And the company will make changes to it. And there are a lot of changes that need to be made to the easement. So after the company files their petition, this is kind of the standard process before the Illinois Commerce Commission. So the company will file a petition, and they're going to file all of these written testimony with it to support every element of the statute that they have to meet for the ICC to approve the project. So they don't put their witnesses up on the stand like in the courtroom to put all the testimony in. They file written testimony. So if you intervene in the case, you would file a written petition to intervene, and then you would file your written testimony in the case. And then just kind of, you know, like in a regular trial, they have what we call discovery. In the ICC, they call it data requests. It's the same thing. The Illinois Commerce Commission has staff attorneys and engineers and economists, and they participate in the case. So even if no one intervenes, the Illinois Commerce Commission staff are going to be asking the company questions. The engineer is going to look at the route. The economist is going to look at their economist's testimony to see if, you know, it's justified. So you do have the Commerce Commission staff that does participate in the case. But that kind of cuts both ways. You know, they listen to who intervenes in the case. If you don't formally intervene in the case, you can comment on the case. You can do it right on the website, the same link where the case is at. There's a column called public comments, and you can file public comments right online. And the staff looks at those comments, but they're not testimony. They don't carry the same weight. Now, that being said, in this type of case, the ICC staff engineer is the one that looks at the arguments that the company makes for eminent domain. So, and I've read through several cases where he's testified. They have different staff for transmission lines and they do pipelines. And they really want to hear from landowners, especially on that issue. Because a company will file testimony saying, given us eminent domain. And we've met with them this many times, and we're trying to negotiate. We've got this percentage of the line, and we're going to continue to negotiate in good faith, so just go ahead and give us eminent domain. Unless someone objects to that, the only thing that the Commerce has before them to actually consider is the company's testimony. So you do have the opportunity to impact that, and that's through intervening and testifying. What's good about the process, it's unfortunate that you have to formally intervene in the case. We have had farmers that have done it on their own. There was a pipeline up in Will County, and a farmer filed his own petition to intervene because it was going to be 250 feet from his house. So he intervened and raised that before them, and the company made a route modification. So, you know, it's, you know, obviously, if you've got experienced counsel that has practiced before the ICC, that's your best bet. We have seen, you know, farmers kind of go together in groups to hire counsel to represent them. And that works fine, except where you're not trying to move the route around. In a transmission line case, what we saw were farmers that were on a particular segment got together, hired counsel, and then farmers on another segment hired their own counsel. Pipeline case, it's a little bit different. We usually don't see, one, a lot of intervention, but we usually don't see a lot of rerouting on it. The biggest problem with the routing in the pipeline case is that the company, when they're going through the process, is they talk to everybody but us. So, and part of that is the process itself. So, just on the ICC process, so you go through the written discovery, then they have actually a hearing. So, if the ICC or someone has questions about testimony, then you actually would be sworn in and testify. And they file post-hearing briefs, so a lot of paper. Again, with respect to intervening, you could do it on your own. It's not easy, but there are examples. You know, if you go through other cases, some farmers have done it. It's more common in a transmission line case than a pipeline case, but you can intervene on your own, or you can hire counsel. If you're going to hire counsel, just make sure that they know what they're doing. And then you also have the options of filing public comments, but that's not testimony.